turning with me in your Bibles, Numbers chapter 13, and I get several portions of scripture to read this morning. And if you know Pastor, I typically try to keep it at five verses or less, and this morning I have like seven verses. But I got to set a platform foundation this morning. The word of the Lord tells us in Numbers 13 and 27, and they told him and said, "We've come unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." Verse 30 says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men that went with him said, 'We be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" Verse 33 says, "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Now, got another Bible verse because it's just so powerful, and kind of bookends what I'm going to preach about this morning. But Romans 8 and 31 says, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" How many believe that this morning? God before me, who can be against me? Tell your neighbor, turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I am not a grasshopper. I am not a grasshopper." Amen. I feel the glory of the Lord in this place. I feel a praise in the inside. Hallelujah. Somebody shout Jesus. Hallelujah. Now this morning, we have traditionally, when preacher, pastor specifically, before he preaches, we pray. I usually lead you in prayer. But I need you to pray for me this morning, because I have some things I need to share, want to share. And I need you to pray for me. I want to be able to get out of my spirit into your hearts. I want there to be an airdrop. I don't want to download. I don't want to get a USB and upload. I want an airdrop. Anybody want a spiritual airdrop this morning? Would you lift your voices? Would you pray for Pastor Panero this morning? Seated in the presence of the Lord. The story of Joshua and Caleb spying out the land can be read in its entirety, most of it in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 through 33. There's several verses there that share about what I am speaking on. And I'm assuming, because I preach probably the most on prayer than anything else, and that's not going to change. But I'm also a proponent of us reading our Bibles every day. I didn't get too many amens right there. You need to take some of you take pills every day. You need to take the gospel every day. Your daily vitamin of the Word of God. So I'm going to be paraphrasing a lot from Genesis to Numbers, assuming that, in fact, from from this point, assuming you've been reading your Bibles, and if you're not, it's okay. Start today. Today's a great day to start. And the word of the Lord tells us that Moses had sent out some spies, some of the brothers from the people of God, to go spy out the land. And God had promised his people then, and his prophetic people now, the territory of the promised land. And it was a land flowing with prosperity. It was a land that had everything that the people of God would need. But, Sister Martinez, God is so amazing that it didn't just have everything the people of God would need, but, Brother Miller, it had everything the people of God would want. And it was a land that you can only imagine. In fact, it's in Numbers 14 and 8, and it says, it was a land floweth with milk and honey. And we read further on in Deuteronomy that that this promised land would be in abundance. In fact, it's in Deuteronomy 6 and 10, the word of the Lord tells us, and it shall be that when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he has sworn unto your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses, notice verse 11, and houses full of all good things, and which thou fillest not, and wells that you didn't dig, and vineyards and olive trees which you didn't plant, when thou shalt have eaten the fruit thereof. And there's going to be everything ready for you to have at your disposal. It's fully furnished, and trees that are mature enough that have fruit on there, and wells that aren't clogged up with dirt, but they are flowing with water. And when the people of Israel were camping out in the wilderness, the Lord told Moses to send some men into the land of Canaan to explore it. And it was very detailed. He was intentional about what he needed them to do. It's in fact in Numbers 13 and 2, it says that you may search the land of Canaan, and you're going to be able to see what's there. And he tells them, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to the children of Israel, and every tribe of their fathers. You're going to send someone to be a representative to see what it is. And we see that God has been a covenant keeping God from the very beginning. He is a God that keeps a covenant. And these were a covenant people. These weren't just the people that were serving God. They were in covenant. They were in faithful commitment with God. And he was simply just instructing Moses to send spies so they could report back to Moses what the land was like. In Numbers 13 and 17, and Moses sent them out to spy the land. And he chose leaders. He chose men that would represent. We know at least there were several hundred thousand people, at least 600,000, even maybe up into 2 million based off of some approximations. But we know several hundred thousand people were represented by these 12 men, and two of these 12 men were Joshua and Caleb, and we can see this reference in Numbers 13 and 6 and Numbers 13 and 16. And so these men went and entered the land of Canaan and began to explore what God had promised them, explore the land that would flow with milk and honey. And it was a strategic purpose, and it was for 40 days they explored and they gathered information. And Numbers 13 and 25 says, and they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. These men were not only able to see the land of promise that God had ordained for them, but they represented a group of people. They represented a prophetic people. They represented people that knew about Egypt. They knew about the hard work and the bitter herbs. They understood about the Passover. This was those people. They understood about the bondage. They knew. They understood about the plagues. They lived through the crossing of the Red Sea. They understood that they had left a place that was turmoil. They left a place that was bondage. They left a place that was not meant for the people of God. They left in Egypt, which was a typology of the world. They had left that, and they had gone the wilderness, and they were there, and they were on their way to a promised land. And everything in the scripture up until this point that we see in Genesis up to our scripture setting is about preparation. It's about clarity. It's about covenant. It's about promise. It's about getting things aligned. There's instruction we read in the scriptures. Here in the first five books of the Bible, we have instruction of what to do when there's a disagreement between one another. There's instruction on putting up the tabernacle and tearing it down, and instruction about who goes to war and at what age. And there was instruction about the priesthood. There was instruction about the garments. Everything God had ordained, He had it for a purpose. There was protocol. There was a purpose. There was what we would understand today, processes. There was order, because we serve a God of order. We don't serve a God of chaos. We serve a God of order. So everything was lining up. They were at a very critical part in biblical history and prophecy, and even in promise and covenant. And we see in Numbers 13 and 23, we see the amazing tangible proof of evidence of the promised land. We see not only see that they were in the land of promise, but they brought back some of the evidence of the land of promise. They came down and they went to the brook and cut down a branch of one cluster of grapes. And it took two of them to carry it upon a staff. Amen. Think about that. They brought back pomegranates and figs. Could I remind us that faith involves risk? Some of you took a risk today coming to church, driving down the freeway. Amen. Because you don't know about the person that was driving in front of you or behind you or beside you. Their mental capacity. Their road rage level. The safety of their car. Faith involves risk. Faith trusts God and His promises. God told these men under the direction of Moses to go and spy the land, search the land. But in serving the Lord, we got to understand that we're a people of covenant and promise. And we've got to look to God. So in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him." We have to be diligent seekers of not only God, but seekers of his word and seekers of the will and the mind of God. Joshua and Caleb, Sister Castile, were with the same group of people that for 40 days saw and experienced the same thing. At some level, we would have to assume that these were all spiritual men, because Moses wouldn't have sent just some backslidden person to go spy out a land of promise. This was a God-ordained thing. This was something that was serious business, representing whole generation and a generation to come, and prophetic word of God in a covenant. This was not just something to take lightly, and Moses took it serious, and he sent a representative from every tribe, and they go, and these men were all on the same journey and had the same purpose, and despite the evidence of a fruitful land and the evidence to prove that what God said would be, there was. They came back with the evidence of, well, God said there was a land flowing with milk and honey, and here we are, grapes so big it took two of us on the ministry team to bring them back to show pastor that it is there. And on top of that, we've got pomegranates and we've got figs and we've got other things that probably is not recorded here, but they're on the same journey with the same purpose, and they come with the tangible evidence from a place that God said was real, that was there, and what a majority could not get over were the obstacles. The majority can be wrong. If the last 3 years hadn't proved anything to us. But Joshua and Caleb had their focus on God Almighty's character, rather than the challenges of the promised land. Somebody shout, I'm not a grasshopper.
I'm not a grasshopper.
2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. The others came to a conclusion that it was not based on faith, but it was rather based on what they could see. The other brothers that Moses sent besides Joshua and Caleb, they chose to focus on the challenges rather than God's character. Jeremiah 32 and 17. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out thy arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee.
Amen.
That's the God we serve. These other men would rather trust in what they saw versus what God had promised. Genesis 18 and 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Somebody say, I'm not a grasshopper. Caleb and Joshua brought a good report. In fact, Numbers will tell us in Numbers 13 and 30. I'm going somewhere. Just give Pastor some time. Numbers 13 and 30 says, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.
Amen.
We read later on in Scripture that Caleb had a different spirit. He was totally focused on the Lord. And he had an attitude of, if God said it, let's go get it right now. Why wait? Let's go get it now. But Numbers 13 and 31 tells us that the men that went with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They brought a negative report all through the camp. If you read in verse 32, it says they brought an evil report. Verse 33, it says, and we were in our own eyes. They said this of themselves. We are in our own eyes as grasshoppers. There was no publication. There was no newspaper article that said, hey, Pentecostals are coming. Don't worry about them because they're grasshoppers. No. They said this about themselves. We were in our own eyes. It's like Caleb was saying, speak for yourself.
Amen.
I'm not a grasshopper. I'm a giant killer. I'm a receiver of the promises of God. They saw what they wanted to see. The other 10 saw what they wanted to see. And Joshua and Caleb saw through the lens of the Spirit. They saw through the lens of the promises of God. Can I tell somebody here this morning, you better be careful who you let speak into your life and what they say into your life. And who? Come on, somebody. Don't put a grasshopper mentality in you. You are not a spiritual grasshopper. You are a spiritual giant. And if God be for you, who can be against you? The devil is a liar. He's the father of it. But the word of God is tried and it's true. Some of us, we see what we want to see. Proverbs 21 and 2 says, every man, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Sometimes we dwell on what we want to dwell on. We see this from these other 10 men. They dwelt on what they wanted to dwell on. They somehow or another, they got away from the prophetic word of God, the covenant of God. They got away from it. They begin to think some things. Can I tell you, as a man thinketh, the Bible says, so is he. We better be careful what we read, lest we start thinking about what we read and begin to shape who we are. And we begin to lean more on the character of things that we read and not begin to stand on the word of God, which is tried and true. We look at it sometimes from our natural, non-spiritual, carnal point of view. These brothers were looking at it through the lens of self, through the lens of flesh. And it seemed that we are grasshoppers. They're saying that of themselves. It seemed that they were all giants. Well, seem has been getting folks into trouble for a long time. Well, it just seems. I'm just saying, it seems like, well, let me tell you, brother Seem, let me tell you, sister Seem, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 16 and 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Can I tell somebody here this morning, you are not a grasshopper. Don't you let someone else's seem undermine the promises of God. In fact, I'll break it down a little bit better. You can quote Pastor with this. Don't let someone else's seem slander the promises of God because of their unbelief. But you stand flat-footed and say, you know what? You seem all you want to, but I see in the Spirit that there's a land flowing with milk and honey. I see in the Spirit my prodigals being saved. I see in the Spirit more young people being baptized. I see in the Spirit more churches being planted. I see in the Spirit victory. I don't see bankruptcy because that's not what God has for me. I see provision. I see the miraculous. There seems a way, but you know what? Where there seems to be no way, God makes a way. Somebody shout, I'm not a grasshopper. You are a child of God. God is amazing. Isaiah 46 and 9 tells us, remember former things of old, for I am God. There's none else. I am God and there is none like me. We serve the creator of all things. Psalm 8 and 3 tells us, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy finger, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. Oh yeah. Don't let the negatives of the unknowns swallow up the favor and promises of God.
Glory.
God before us. Who can be against us? But there's giants. If God be for us, who can be against us? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. God has a great many blessings waiting for us to experience if we walk towards Him and walk with Him. He's leading us to truly something great. He never said it was going to be easy. Who told these men that they were grasshoppers? Who told them? That's why we're going to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Some of us have got to stop with that grasshopper mentality. You are not a grasshopper. You are a child of God. That is who you are. Even when I don't see it, He's working. Come on, somebody. If He's going to take you to something, sometimes He takes you through that very thing. But you got to trust God through the process. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hey, they saw what they saw each other. But we don't ever read where they saw the angel of the Lord or God Himself in there. Everyone else saw what was taking place. Can I tell you? Everyone sees what you're going through, and you can't see what God is doing, but God is right there where He's always been. You're not a grasshopper. You're not by yourself. And even if you're by yourself, if God is for you, who can be against you? God never said it was going to be easy. We got to be careful when we let the opinion of man outweigh what God says in His Word. Because the majority can get it wrong. Romans 3 and 4. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Titus 1 and 2 says, notice this, with which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God never told us that there wasn't going to be obstacles. It may be fear of the natural. It may be the trepidation of the unknown that you're dealing with. But there has never been a day like today.
Right. Amen.
We have never had a moment like we're having right now.
Right.
Never. It's never been a 2020. What year are we in? 2023. So you, some of you have never been as old as you are right now.
Amen.
And if we wait a second, you'll be a little bit older. Think about that. And God has brought us from things that we thought would have killed us and we wouldn't have made it through. And you're here today giving God the glory. Ah, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my, in the presence of all the haters, all the doom and gloom people. Ah, you're not going to make, I've seen people better than you with way less not making. Hey, I'm not them. God has called me for a purpose. When it's my time to go, it's my time to go. But until then, I'm going to have an attitude. I'm going to exceed all the promises of God. I serve a covenant keeping God, and I'm in covenant with him.
Hallelujah.
We navigate through things we've never done before. Adversities, giants. But all these other brothers, all they could see is that they're stronger than we. Hey, sometimes we got to be faced with the impossibility to understand that it's a miracle.
Amen.
Say, well, it had to have been God. Yeah, what's wrong with that, that it had to have been God? Hey, Joshua and Caleb, you know what they begin to do? They begin to trust in God and say, you know what? It's the God that brought us out of Egypt, part of the Red Sea, gave us food when we needed it. And some of you are murmuring and complaining about some things. And guess what? That ain't helping nobody. Not even helping yourself. You need to get out of that mindset and say, I'm not a grasshopper. I'm a child of God. I'm a kingdom kid. I'm a giant slayer, and if God's for me, who can be against me? All the people that we saw are men of great stature. And? Really? Okay. Good for them. More degrees than a thermometer. That's okay. Jesus had no degree, but they called him Master. They saw what they wanted to see. You'll see what you want to see when you look through the lens of flesh. Some of you need to get a new prescription this morning.
Amen.
I'm not an eye doctor, but you ought to get rid of some of the lenses you've been looking at things through. Begin to start, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Come on, somebody. Ah. When I begin to look at the prosperity of the wicked, but things changed when I got into the sanctuary of God. So we need to get back to that old place and say, you know what? I'm going to start using the word of God as a strainer of everything that I'm going through and dealing in faith. It's the word of God. It's a light into my path. He's acquainted with all of my ways. Thank the Lord he's acquainted with all of my ways, because there's some ways I don't want anyone to be acquainted with. But can I tell you, you got to get rid of that grasshopper mentality spiritually and say, you know, we've come to have revival. We've come to see a harvest. We've come to see wells that have been clogged up, the unclogged. We've come to reap some things that the elders and the past generation have prayed for. We're here, and we're here to stay. We haven't come to make peace with nobody. We have come to take spiritual dominion. To see things in our own eyes is a prescription for defeat before the battle is even engaged. It's having to understand that we need to position ourselves to get in alignment and stay in alignment with the Word of God. Because once you do, you'll understand Luke 1 and 37. For with God, nothing shall be possible. You ever make that statement? Oh, it just seems impossible. It's impossible. Yeah. But it says, it even says there, I'm possible. I'm not an English teacher, but I'm possible. With God, I'm possible.
Amen. Thank God. Glory to God.
Seemeth? Well, it seems they don't like me. whole lot of, we don't need to do some spiritual assumptions. We need to do a lot of faith walking. It's faith. It's faith. You're not a grasshopper. You're a child of God. There was these two shoe salesmen that went to an underdeveloped country to see about expanding their business and selling shoes. First guy goes and spies out the land. He calls back to the home office, Sister Emily, and says, "Don't send anything. Nobody here wears shoes." Second guy, Sister Milrick, he said, "Hey, nobody here has any shoes. Send me everything you've got. They all need shoes." Same two guys. One saw things one way, one saw things another way.
Yeah.
And we do that spiritually. Hey, well, you know, they're not really interested. Well, okay, there's 8 billion people in the world. There's 108,000 people in our little city alone, another 40 or 50,000 in neighboring cities, and 8,000 here and there. Can I tell you, there's 450,000 people that need Jesus.
Amen.
Got to get beyond the grasshopper mentality and say, you know what? I'm a light. I'm an ambassador for Jesus. And what I'm going through is what I'm going through, and let it be what it is. But I'm not going to have a woe is me pity party. Oh, poor Vasito, poor baby. Look at what's going on. Give me a shirt. Give me the spirit of heaviness. No, I want a garment of praise. I want to be able to have something that says, you know what? They were broke. They were busted. But they went down praying and worshiping and having a time with the Lord. Can I tell you, what profit the man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? We've got to understand there's a world that needs Jesus. There's a territory. There's a region that God has called us to. We're not grasshoppers. We're giant killers. And we're people of promise and of the covenant. God has got something special for all of us, for everybody. The gift of the Holy Ghost. If you're here this morning, you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost, guess what? It's free, and you can have it today. If you're here today and you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you can get baptized. In fact, if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, what hindereth thee? You need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. It's not to be included a part of Revival Tabernacle. It's for the remission of sin. It's for the washing away and the forgiving of your sin. You are living in a danger zone if you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. Can I tell you why? Because the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Can I tell you here this morning, hey, we got a heaven that is waiting for us. Let's make heaven crowded. Let's make it filled with our friends and our family. Let's go to the next town and start a church. Let's have Bible studies in our home. Let's have prayer meetings with our family. Let's read our Bible. Let's understand that if God is for me, who can be against me?
Hallelujah.
No spiritual grasshoppers in the kingdom. They said that of themselves. Can you imagine what the enemy is saying about you? If you're Holy Ghost filled, guarantee you it's not saying that they're a grasshopper. They're saying, man, after demons in heaven are probably saying, man, after all she's been through, there she is still worshiping God. After all that I threw at them, look at them standing there with their Bible giving God some praise. You know what I know? I know I'm pastoring a church of giant killers and promise keepers. That's what I know. Men and women that are that are getting anxious spiritually because you've tasted and you've seen the supernatural and you've got the fire of revival burning in you and you see the fields are ripe for harvest and you've been spiritually frustrated because of the grasshopper mentality of a few that are okay with settling and willing to make peace with the enemy. Can I tell you, we haven't come to make peace. We've come in victory in Jesus' name to put another stake in the ground and declare, I'm not a spiritual grasshopper, but I'm a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping. I'm a child of the Most High God. It's not people that want to relax and say, well, I'm going to put it in neutral and easy street. No, but people that say, you know what? You don't understand my praise, and neither will you understand my anointing. But if you've been through what I've been through, you'd understand it's an insult to call me a grasshopper. I'm not a grasshopper. I'm a child of God, and He's got a promise for me.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
How insulting that was.
Yes.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm a giant killer.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm about to walk into a land of promise, flowing with milk and honey.
Yes.
You see what you want to see. You say what you want to say. Speak for yourself. You don't speak for me. I am who God says I am. He calls those things that are not as though they are. Somebody give God a praise in here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Some of you have got a kingdom-minded vision.
Hallelujah.
But you've been rubbing shoulders with people that have a grasshopper syndrome. It's time to cut the umbilical cord.
Amen.
Lovers of pleasure won't get you into heaven.
Right.
Checking off a box for Sunday is a grasshopper mentality. Looking for the easy way and not Yahweh.
Amen.
You got to have a revelation
Amen.
Of who you are in Christ, not what others
Amen.
Think of you.
Amen.
Well, it seems as though you are, hey, I don't care spiritually what you think. I'm more concerned about what He knows.
Amen.
You may be small in stature physically, but you serve a mighty God.
Amen.
A God that declares in the scripture in Isaiah 66:1. Notice this, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. We say, Pastor, don't seek out professional help. Seek out professional help. But always put it through the filter of the Word of God.
Amen.
Psalm 56:4 tells us, in God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. You know what faith is? It's being obedient even when you can't see
exactly
the results.
Amen.
It means action. God gives us the choice to believe, but we have to believe.
Glory.
Doesn't mean that you're not going to have moments of unbelief, but we got to believe.
Amen.
We have to have an enduring faith. We've got to refuse to be influenced by the negative report,
yeah,
and seek the report of the Lord. We got to have an enduring faith that in the face of impossibilities, that we're going to stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
Psalmist tells us again in Psalm 56:9, this I know, that God is for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a lot of things that we could say for certain that we know for sure, but I hope this Bible verse rings loud and clear in your heart,
Amen,
that this I know, God is for me.
Amen.
Some of you here this morning are walking through some challenging times. But can I tell you, there has always been challenging times.
Yes.
And there will always be challenging times. How do you get experience? You gotta go through stuff.
Yes.
They tell you to go get a job, and they're like, well, you got to hire somebody with experience. Well, man, I need some experience. How do I qualify? So then you find some things that qualify you. Some of you have been praying for God to do some things for you. And God's saying, well, you know, how about I just start with a bucket full instead of a whole water, a swimming pool full of stuff?
Right.
If, you know, it's a lot easier to carry two buckets filled with water. Some of us have been carrying one bucket full of water, and it's got holes in it. Or we're dumping it out, or we're laying it down. We got to have an enduring faith.
Amen.
That if God has positioned you to it, He's going to equip you to see it through.
Yes, amen.
You're not a grasshopper. You're a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
Heaven and earth will pass away. But Zion, His word's not going to pass away. Oh, there's a whole lot of things, saints of God, I want to say this morning. But if you get anything out of what I'm preaching this morning, is you need, we cannot have a spiritual mindset that we are grasshoppers. We are not spiritual grasshoppers. We are spiritual giants.
Amen.
Not in a prideful way, but in a very humble way.
Amen.
Reverencing. Say, God, God, this beautiful youth group, he saved the best for last.
Amen.
I know you're not as old as Brother Pisano, but look what God is doing. It's amazing what God is doing. Two services on Sunday. Amazing. I went and looked at a piece of property, and I was like, had, you know, ready to go look at this thing. It's beautiful. Walked in there, looked all good. All right, let's run. Let's look at some things. And then I get the news that they want this amount, and I'm like, busted my heart. $12 million. It's like, man. But you know what then, Brother Miller, what came to me? Hey, if that's where God wants us, guess what? He'll send somebody through that door.
Amen.
Oh, we better praise the Lord just in case. I'm serious. Standing. We better praise the Lord just in case. The Lord was testing us. In case that was a dream. You think I'm kidding? I want everyone to stand. That could have been just a test of our, you never know. Let's just give God a praise right now. You never know. I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to stay standing. Sister Parr, if you come, just give us some organ music. If you're watching online, we love you. God bless you in Jesus' name. I'm going to share something with you. It's not even in my notes. I got more to preach, but my parents started a church 36 years ago. It was just us in the garage. Started a church. He's still pastoring. Pastors two churches now. And we needed a building and saving up for a building. And somebody walked into the office, my dad's office, and says, got an X amount of money that I'm going to give to the church. My dad said, okay. So where's it at? It's under my mattress. So they went home, gave the money, the mattress money. And it was enough to meet the needs of everything they needed to buy their first building. Now they're in a second building, their first building.
Amen.
So when what took place, you just never know
right. What
God is doing.
Right.
God is able to do anything. And sometimes we just have to speak and walk in faith, and God will test us and say, what would you do? I believe personally that was just a test to see, you know, what would we do? What would we do if God answered all of our prayers? How would you live if God answered all your prayers? Because you know why? He's answering prayers, and sometimes those prayers are a no. And a no is an answer too. How many are thankful for the Lord today that He's a covenant-keeping God? He's a God of promise. Can we lift our hands unto the Lord?